Welcome to eHealth Talk, a podcast from Health Informatics New Zealand and hosted by me, editor of eHealth News, Rebecca Macbeth. This podcast provides a regular roundup of news and views from across New Zealand's data and digital health sector. Please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Kia ora and welcome to eHealth Talk NZ. Today is the second in our series focusing on the Fellows of Health Informatics New Zealand, and I'm speaking to Colin McKenzie and Kate Rind. HINZ announced the establishment of the fellowship program in November 2020, and the first 21 founding fellows were announced in March 2021. The program recognises health informatics leaders who demonstrate significant digital and data achievement and contributions, leadership and service for the health and disability sector of Aotearoa New Zealand. So welcome on the podcast, Colin and Kate. Can you start by telling our listeners a little about yourselves and your roles in the health sector?
Nga mihi nui kia koutou katoa. I'm Core Kate, toku ingoa, nō papakura aho. Kate noho auki Tamaki Makaurau, he founder and chief executive, he HealthPoint toku mahi, kia ora koutou katoa. Thank you, Rebecca, and it's great to be here and great to be joining with Colin and having a chat. I'm the founder and CEO of HealthPoint, which I started in 2004. Our role really is we have three key products that are real core enablers across the New Zealand and also Australian health system. One is HealthPoint, which is a national services directory that has been one of the key enablers for the COVID response, but also the national telehealth services. It's been a really interesting time over the last 18 months, and we've found there's been a huge scale in our activity across New Zealand. We now are getting 200 to 300 services changing their information every day, and we're actually getting one in four New Zealanders that are actually accessing the platform. So the platform's really about connecting people with services. And obviously that's been incredibly useful over this time. The other product that we're involved with is MEDINS. And MEDINS has also been another key enabler for the COVID response. And this is the communication platform which enables inter-organisational communication. And that's really focused on the changing clinical advice out to the sector. So primary care, so GPs, pharmacies, Māori health providers, aged residential cares, understanding what the changes in advice which inform their conversation with their patients. So that's been that's a significant platform, and it's used across mainly the northern region, but also some of the mid regions. The other area that we're really interested in is emergency response planning, and we have an office based in Melbourne, and we're actually partnering with the Royal Australian College of GPs. And we've developed an emergency response planning tool, which enables the GPs to develop their own emergency plan. So this is software as a service, and it's called the ERPT. So my involvement has been as a CEO and founder of developing of those products and programs, but I've also been actively involved in NZ Health IT Cluster, which then became NZ HIT, and I understand there's going to be a new change of name very, very soon. So I've been there for 10 years, and I was also part of the inaugural team that set up Women in Health Tech, which is actually a collaboration around data and digital clinical devices and also bioengineering. So it's an exciting area where people can connect. In my spare time, what I have is I've a real interest and have one of the founders of a social enterprise. And what we're doing is looking at helping schools with regards to their wellbeing services. So we've developed a wellbeing platform which enables schools to identify the youth that aren't doing okay. And this is really critical over this COVID time. And then supporting the schools to prioritise their resources and actually support those students that, you know, finding this time really, really challenging. So that's me.
Great. I'm surprised you had any spare time, Kate. That sounded quite a list there. Thanks. And Colin?
Yeah, Kate, that's awesome. Yeah, spare time. Wish we had more of it, right? But, yeah, hi, I'm Colin McKenzie, and I'm the Sales and Marketing Manager for Sysmex New Zealand, which is a 100% owned affiliate of Sysmex Corporation, which is a global entity whose whole drive is to actually, I think the tagline is just about a healthier tomorrow. So Sysmex purchased a company that I was involved with a number of years ago called Delphic Medical Systems, and we built a laboratory information system product and started to, as a little startup, to sell and market that around the world. Our whole passion is around delivering sort of better healthcare. So digital health has just been part of our journey. So for me, some time ago, it's quite interesting actually, because I became, well, I was one of the members of the Health Informatics Foundation back in the day. And then there was another organization called Nursing Informatics New Zealand, I believe. And we got together and said that there's too many little groups here. We need to form one because we're only small organizations in New Zealand. So we actually created HIMSS right back then. So we were part of that drive. And so my passion has been very much around raising the profile of digital health through organizations and bringing people together. Our current digital health portfolio in New Zealand for SysMex is, like I said, we started off producing laboratory information systems. So we're key providers to the DHB laboratory services and also some of the community lab services that are providing that service across New Zealand. And we have a real passion to collect data and make it available to those who need it at the right time. So we have a product called Eclair. So we gather the laboratory data, obviously, to start with, but then radiology data, medical data, clinical data, put it in a shared repository, if you like, and then make it available to clinicians and people that need it. And what we'll see is eventually the consumer, you, me, and our family eventually with digital health, will want to access that data moving forward. So, yeah, the future's amazing. So, yeah, I'm glad to be on this journey and be part of it.
Great. So interesting to hear about the history of HIMSS there as well. It's not something I knew about. So have both of you always been interested in IT or technology, and how did you sort of move into your positions? Start with you, Colin, on this one.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a really good question. I guess, you know, my history, like I've sort of touched on a little bit about that, but you know, when I came out of high school, my passion was to be a medical doctor. So I was accepted into Otago Med School, and my parents said, just maybe take a year or so to think about that. It's quite a journey. And so I got a job in a medical laboratory testing, because I was always going to be in the medical industry in some way or another. So I started life as a medical laboratory scientist, and computers were just starting to come into that industry, and I needed to know how they worked. With my mind, it was a bit like, you know, I was trained in that medical profession, but you could put data into a computer and it would respond and tell you if it was an abnormal result or it was an invalid result. I kept looking behind the computer thinking, how does it do that? So I went downstairs and talked to the computer department and said, I need to know this. So they took me through and gave me some lessons. So my career then evolved into, wow, the power of information is incredible. So I learned to write a bit of code, and I guess it was just about artificial intelligence back in the day, because I could actually write some code that could extract data and run an algorithm and come up with a diagnosis, if you like. So I got so excited about this and thought, you know, the computer industry and the use of data is evolving and it's the future. So I went on that journey, and I went and joined a company that was that little startup and bought into that, and had a bit of a career. I went off to Canada and spent 3 or 4 years in Canada setting up the business, and learnt a lot over there, engaging with the Canadian healthcare system, and which was very much like ours, and built the business in Canada, and then came back to New Zealand, and then moved really into the whole sales and marketing strategy, because, you know, I believe that health IT and the use of data and digital was definitely the future, but we needed to engage across the board. We needed clinicians, we needed nurses, you know, we needed health informaticians, and we needed the vendor community to get involved. So, yeah, so that's where I've ended up now, in a sales and marketing role, and continue to hopefully drive that passion across not just New Zealand, but the other global entities that we work with.
How about you, Kate?
I have a science degree from Otago University, and I didn't set out to be in health informatics or health technology. I set out following the death of my father, and he passed away quite young, and I was reflecting on his journey, and reflecting on what happened in his journey is we lived in Papakura. He saw his acute health was at Middlemore. cardiac was in Green Lane in those days, renal was at Auckland, and he had these phenomenal people, surgeons and doctors looking after him. And over a matter of, you know, years, they were looking after him. And when I reflect on his journey, I realize that he was an inquiring person. He was an entrepreneur, and he actually didn't have conversations. He went into these meetings. Someone was talking about a particular organ and doing the best, you know, they're phenomenal professionals, and they were giving him advice, but he never had that conversation, and we never had the information prior to going into that meeting to feel comfortable enough to have that conversation. And reflecting that, what I wanted to do was actually make a difference in enabling people like Dad to actually feel confident to be able to engage in the sector, and that two-way dialogue is really going to improve outcomes. Because in some of the decisions that were being made, if they were taken in his holistic view of him as a person, may have changed his course, may have potentially changed the length of life he'd lived, and definitely would have changed some of the way he was living at that time. So that was my reflection. And so what I was doing was interested in actually exploring that further, bringing a group of experts together and actually exploring to see whether we could do something that could make an impact for all New Zealanders, not just Dad. So that led me down the technology, because it's scale. We needed to scale. There needed to be infrastructure, data structure. We needed to actually unpick what the problem was. It was really around partnership. It was around standards. It was around interoperability. It was around sharing. So we started with three services with Counties Manukau, DHB. And now, you know, we have 11 services, 6,000 editors. We have 350,000 people a day on HealthPoint over the peak of COVID, and it's really, really growing. So that scale has been building that knowledge as we've gone on around data and digital, around informatics, around standards, around interoperability, and actually building a knowledge base as we go. So it's been a journey, and I think we're still on that journey. We're still learning and evolving as we go.
Great. Well, two quite different stories there. Do you often get asked for advice from others looking to get into data and digital health roles, and what do you tell them?
There is a lot of people that are really interested in health. They really want to ease the burden of ill health, and they come from so many different angles. And so what I understand is when people have that passion, that digital and data is the way you scale that passion. You scale what they're interested in, and they may be interested in working with an iwi, or they may be interested in working in a DHB, but actually some of these programs, if they're thinking about a digital and data and the rigor behind it, they can scale it to the whole country. They can scale it internationally. And it means you're getting better connections, more connections, and actually better outcomes. So what is understanding and exploring what's important to them, where their passion lies. And because I think, you know, with this area, unless you've got that passion and that drive to keep learning, to keep your knowledge coming, to keep advancing, it's not a job that just stays still and you do X, Y, Z, and that's what you do for the rest of your life. It is you need to keep learning, listening, understanding the changes in the environment. And I think this is exactly the right time where a lot of discussion's been had, and now we're actually starting to see some mobilisation of actually scaling up some of these initiatives. So I encourage people to have conversations, number one. Then look at courses that may ignite their interest. So there's some great courses through the university. There's some great courses through like HL7, FIRE, you know, like just to understand and increase their knowledge. And networking. get involved with, you know, women in health tech, get involved in, with people that inspire you and actually start to have those conversations. And I believe if you're wholehearted in those conversations, opportunities will open up and a pathway will open up, and it will be a pathway that will suit you versus a direct pathway.
Interesting. How about you, Colin?
Yeah, well, it's so true, isn't it? It's for me, I guess, you know, I mean, I don't actually have any direct contact with people sort of saying, you know, hi, Colin, you know, what was your journey and how do you get into digital health? But I'm along the same lines as Kate. It's, you have to have a passion in this industry. And the people that have that passion go out of their way to make sure that they can encourage and inspire others. So for me, even in a social environment, you know, often people might ask, you know, some of those questions of, you know, what do you do, Colin? You know, I take them on a journey a little bit without boring them too much of digital health. But, you know, the wonders of digital health, I mean, and what we've created, you know, through those organisations, you know, with Kate and HealthPoint and NZ Health IT groups, that networking side of it is so important because there's a passionate group of people that are inspiring the next generation. We also get heavily involved with trying to support the universities and the younger generation coming through. So being able to offer, you know, some awards, et cetera, to support best papers coming out of universities, and we present those through HINS, which is fantastic. And then that opens those opportunities for those new players coming into the market to understand what you need or where your passion lies. So, yeah, we're very much open. We bring in graduates on a regular basis. I think we've just got 3 or 4 new graduates starting with us this year. And one of them came out of University of Otago, I think, with health informatics. So now is encouraged to come and work for SysMe and see that journey that we're on. So being a fellow of HINS makes it such a great opportunity to collaborate with other fellows, because we're like, goes back to that thing, we are passionate about what we want to deliver here, and we're all on the same path. So, yeah, our door is always open to help encourage the next generation.
Certainly the people involved in health IT make my job particularly rewarding and interesting as well, in terms of the news and the kind of people I get to meet and interview. So certainly a really great sector to be working in. Workforce has been identified as a real challenge to the health IT industry at the moment. What's your experience of that issue, and what more could the wider sector be doing to train or encourage more people into these sorts of roles?
It was very timely with that question, you know, because obviously we're going through a process of expansion and employing more people in our industry. You know, we go back to the pandemic again, the COVID thing, you know, the borders are closed. So workforce is a really difficult thing to get the right people at the moment. Our industry, I guess, as we look as the vendor community and a software development group, so probably half of our organisation are potentially university graduates or software developers. And the other half of our organisation are medically focused and trained. And we bring those two things together to create hopefully innovative health solutions for not just New Zealand, but some of the global entities that we work with as well. So, yeah, software developers are hard to get at the moment, because all industries are fighting for really good, innovative software developers using the latest technology. And then the graduates and the healthcare people that we need to come through as well, also very limited on the ground. Yeah, how do we get out there further? We have to continue to market ourselves, the networking, getting back into the universities, et cetera, and promoting the health or the digital health industry or health informatics as a career choice. We probably don't do enough of it in New Zealand. You know, HINS and NZ Health IT, and there's great organisations around, but how do we raise it to the next level? How do we actually, do we get back into the high schools, you know, encourage people at a high school level to understand that this career choice is available to them, and how do they make it happen? So, yeah, a lot of work to be done, I think, for us to continue to do that. Hopefully when the borders open again and we get some more people coming in that with some of those skill sets that are actually missing in New Zealand at the moment, that we will grow that side of the business. But, yeah, lots of conversations to be had, I think, of trying to encourage digital health or health informatics as a career choice.
I agree, Colin and Rebecca. It is a huge issue, and there is no silver bullet with regards to it. My personal opinion is that there's a need for a greater collaboration between universities, industry, and maybe you bring schools as well, and, you know, school, university, industry, but also the health sector has to play a significant role in this as well. And I think HINS do a great job with regards to looking at that. I think a lot of people leaving school don't see a pathway. They don't see the tech pathway, and they don't see the opportunities until they're actually exposed to it. And we're not exposing enough people to what the opportunities are. We've had great experience with working with some of having summer interns, working with like the Auckland University School of Medicine, and bringing in some of their young doctors and actually giving them projects that gives them an overview in health informatics. It's been brilliant, and they've given us so much value. So I would encourage more of that to happen, you know, bringing in more people into our organisations and inspiring them and showing them what the opportunities are, I think is a great win-win for everyone. So I'm also really interested in how we encourage the journey of our own staff and enable them to pick up new skills and actually evolve to their potential as well. So, you know, really people that are coming in fairly junior roles within our organisation, you know, and with the right support and mentoring, actually picking up new skills and actually being more involved in some of the strategy and some of the bigger programs, because they bring a different diversity to thinking. It's not just the university people that have gone through programs that we want. We want quite a diverse range of people think, you know, thought leaders within your own organisation. So interested in that too. But I find this really challenging.
I presume things like school fairs and university things and like, you know, like career fairs and that haven't been going on for a couple of years, have they? But yeah. It's certainly something.
And is the university program that they're doing in health informatics and even some of their computer science programs, are they talking to industry? You know what I mean? Like, I'm really interested, you know, quite conversations with the mayor of Dunedin, and he's going, oh, we'd love Orion Health to be based in Dunedin because we could give you some students, you know, and we could have a flow. But their courses didn't give you the students to do the work. So the only reason why you'd set up a company somewhere is because you've got this great resource of talent to come through. You know, there's a block between those universities and that talent coming through.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? And I mean, borders reopening isn't, hopefully we don't get a huge flood of people leaving as well as people coming in. So you both work for industry partners in health IT, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, Colin, but how do you collaborate with, work with other groups such as government or clinical users, and how can those relationships be strengthened? And do you think FINS potentially has a role in that?
Yeah, I think it does. It's, you know, for us, obviously the way that we work is the only way to move forward is to actually work under a collaboration umbrella, right? So, you know, we will go to individual hospitals and networks and sit and work with the end users as well. Of going, a software development company like us is not going to achieve any of our goals if we don't understand completely what the end user is actually looking for. So we need to go to the clinicians within the hospital, understand their workflow, see what they're looking for. Combine that information with what we know and with what we learn globally as well. So we start to develop a roadmap on what we need to deliver. We can then actually take that to other organisations within the healthcare system. So, you know, the ministry, and a great thing that we did, obviously, with the COVID response was to go directly with the ministry to stand up the response system. So we suddenly realised that the ministry wanted to collect all of the COVID results from all of the medical labs in New Zealand as fast as possible. Well, you know, when that started, that was a handwritten paper type process that was put in place, and people were getting a result and sending it and typing it in or sending a spreadsheet. And so that collaborative adventure was created. So we brought all of the medical labs together, created a governance group, and we all decided that the best way forward was we had to go electronic. We had to use standards. So, you know, HL7, lowing codes, et cetera. And everyone had to collaborate to make this a success, which was a great adventure because all of the medical labs, the Ministry of Health, SysMex, you know, we needed to put this thing together quickly, but it had to use the standards required to make this thing work. Collaboration is the only way forward. I mean, yes, we as a software developer will compete in the environment as well with other organizations, but we compete collaboratively. We keep everybody on the toes is to make sure that whatever we develop is going to be used for the benefit of the end user. And the end user to me is actually you, me, my family, you know, everybody. We're here for that reason. So to collaborate across the board to do that is our journey. And we can't do it alone. We do it as a group. HINS is an important part of that. You know, we actually miss the HINS face-to-face conference because what comes out of that, again, is amazing collaboration between, clinicians, health conditions, the vendors. Everybody has that opportunity to, over those few days to share their thoughts and their journeys and create these sort of partnerships. And that's what the world's turning into. You know, once upon a time, it was always, I hate these sayings. It's always, you know, the vendor is, you know, you are the vendor and we are the customer. I don't believe that is the way that it works now, is that we're all in this industry for the right reason. So we're actually partners to collaborate to increase the benefits of our health organizations. So slowly for us, we're trying to get rid of that whole customer vendor type thinking and saying that we're all on this journey together. We all just have a slightly different role to play.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Colin is collaboration, and it's being on a journey and having clear outcomes and roles and responsibilities within that collaboration. But I also from our perspective, as we're innovating and looking at new programs, it's our design process that we start with a collaboration and making sure the right people are in the room. And always it is the consumer, that, you know, end user, you and I, using the tool. It's most often a health professional, and it's occasionally the funder. So when we have it around the other way, where you're collaborating with the funder, is probably not the right place where we want to be. So we want to be in that agile development team where we actually knowing the impact that we're making, because as a company, we make decisions on impact. Can we make a difference here? Will this change and be supportive and help? And unless you get the answer at the coalface, it may sound like a great idea, but actually when you start talking to some of the clinicians and you start talking to the end users, they may not want that. And so we just need to, they may want it in a different form. So our relationships always start at, I would say, at the higher level, which is at the consumer level, which is critical. I think the challenge in our health system is that we do development at that level, but quite often the structure and the bureaucracy and actually dilutes the messaging and it changes it, which can actually put in a lot of risk. So I think from our perspective, we purposely make decisions on who we engage and partner with. Because if we believe we cannot make a difference and that we're spending a lot of time going round circles, that's not good value for anyone. So what we do is purposely seek partners and engage with people that we believe together we can make a significant difference. And I think that FINS provides a significant level of validation to those conversations because it provides a level of rigor, but it also qualifies the health informatics space as well. So it's brilliant.
Given the health reforms, and we've talked a bit about increasing awareness and use of digital tools in the health sector, especially since the pandemic began, are you both excited about the future of health informatics and digital health? How are you feeling about it?
Oh, wow. More than excited. I mean, it's just, you know, like I said at the start, that we've always had a passion to use data and digital health and health informatics to improve the health and well-being of the individuals. But we all know that the healthcare system, and I don't know why, but we've always lagged behind, I think, you know, the picking up with the new technology and delivering it. And I don't know why that is, but it's always been that way. You know, I've been on a passionate journey for ages to continue to promote, why are we still using paper? Why are we still writing things out and handing them to a patient? And why are we doing this and transcribing it back into another computer system and then another one? You know, there's better ways. You know, data and digital is the way forward. And I guess, you know, the pandemic hit and suddenly the healthcare industry realized the value of digital data. And getting rid of the paper, because we had to. You know, we did a whole lot of really great work around the country where suddenly there was video consults with clinicians, and we set up for the outpatient clinics as well. The patients couldn't come to the outpatient clinics. So it had to be a video consult. As part of that consult, the clinicians had to order diagnostic tests instead of writing out a bit of paper and giving it to the patient. So we set up a program of work where they could just order it online and just tell the patient, you can just go to your nearest collection center and the order will be waiting for you. Suddenly people started to see, this is amazing. You know, we're actually creating a digital journey here. So, yeah, the excitement is incredible because now, after all these years of promoting this digital pathway, we are just inundated now with, you know, calls for consultancy and software development and saying, you know, we need to do this. You know, DHBs, GPs, we suddenly see the value of this whole electronic way of working. So, you know, the healthcare industry is starting to come up to where everyone else is. You know, a lot of us have, you know, been carrying sort of, you know, internet banking for years and think nothing of it. In fact, I did a conference a while ago when somebody was talking about, you know, the digital journey that I was trying to promote with healthcare, and they were saying, oh, they were very worried about, you know, the privacy. And I just simply asked them, I said, do you use, you know, internet banking? And they said, yes, I do. And I said, so you're worried about internet sort of connectivity for medical health records? And they said, yes, we are. And I said, but, you know, if I was a hacker, I'm sure I'd be after your bank account first, right, rather than your hemoglobin. Because digital technology, whether it's in the bank or the healthcare, uses exactly the same encryption and data controls across the board. So it's just a matter of convincing people that, you know, the security and the technology is there, and we're seeing that now. Look, the evolution now that we're going through is astronomical. I mean, the apps that we've got, you know, being able to sort of log on to My COVID Record and see your results, and there's huge benefit in what we're doing, and it's not going to stop.
Oh, how do I follow up that? I totally agree with everything you've said, Colin. It's an incredible time. Digital and data informatics, it's all around scale. So, you know, we're connecting more people, you know, they're better connections and they're safer connections, you know, so therefore our health system must improve. And when I look at your example around the COVID response and, you know, setting up the ability to get rats, to order rats, you know, and how we came in and we actually provide the ability of where you get the rats, you know, it's collaboration and it's working together, and it actually enabled a system where you're basically getting tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people getting rat tested and set up within a week, really. So it was an amazing opportunity. And this is just the start. So I think if everyone can actually engage in this digital pathway, and I think that's a caveat in this, is that we must make sure that no one gets left behind. And that's hence where, you know, the structure around the Māori Health Authority and the way we're progressing with the treaty and, you know, just understanding and making sure we're embracing the whole of New Zealand and we're doing it in a New Zealand way, I think is brilliant.
Yeah, and that's such a great point, Kate. I mean, equity is just key. You know, we know there's been different journeys for different people in our health journey in New Zealand, and we have to ensure that that's equitable across the whole country. And we shouldn't lose focus of that. Sometimes we do. We lose a bit of focus on, you know, what people's access to our healthcare system actually is and how they achieve it. So again, that whole collaborative approach with what you do, with what we do, what all of our health coordinators would do, if they collaborate and understand that, we will actually have an amazing healthcare system moving forward.
Grant, just before we go, if you could just briefly tell me, what are the benefits of being a FINS member for you, and would you encourage others to apply?
Well, firstly, Rebecca, I'd like just to acknowledge and thank HINS for encouraging diversity of the people and skills within the fellowship membership program. I think that is significant. I really think that is, I mean, it's an absolute privilege to be part of this community, and I do encourage everyone to get involved. But what it does is it recognises different experiences, skill sets and backgrounds, which will enable a richer conversation. And I think we can't have a one direction conversation, because digital and data and informatics is absolutely critical to what our health system is going to look like in the next, what it looks like today, but what is going to evolve to in the next 5-10 years. And so in that, you know, we need a diversity of thought, and we need to keep encouraging that. So I take my hat off to HINS, and I'm really rapt to be part of this program. And I also am so looking forward to actually having an in-person conversation with like-minded people that are interested and thinking about how we can make New Zealand a healthier place.
How about you, Colin? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I just have to reiterate the same thing. I mean, I was actually amazed when I was asked or nominated to be a fellow for the work that you put in, because you don't do it for accolades or rewards. I think you do it just to improve people's health, and I think that's why we have such a great number of people in our healthcare industry. But Brent, being the fellow as well, is the amazing connections, and I agree with Kate, the amazing connections that you start to make. I mean, I often now have conversations with a number of the other fellows that I probably wouldn't have collaborated or met or engaged with in the past. And now we seem to have a great organisation. So, you know, I'll chat with, Richard Mendicott at the Bay of Islands Health Centre and a number of other fellows that, you know, are clinical and not actually in the digital health industry that I'm doing software development. And as soon as that collaboration happens between us, we all get a greater understanding of what we're trying to achieve. So we have these phone calls that go on and ask for advice and what do you think we should do here. And it's just great to see that whole, what Kate said, that whole diversity of the HINS group or the fellows, nurses, clinicians, educators, software vendors. You've got a whole great group of people there that, and they are all the people that are designing our healthcare system to go forward. And if we didn't have that, we'd still be operating in a bit of a vacuum to some degree. It's one of the greatest things that HINS have done, and is create that fellowship. And for anybody out there that's really thinking about applying their life and their passion to health, certainly apply and become part of that fellowship of HINS, because it adds huge value to the way of what we're trying to do here.
Great. Well, that's a very nice positive note to end on. So I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for joining me today, Kate and Colin. It's been really great discussion. To our listeners, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if you can take the time to review it, please do so, as that makes it easier for other people to find.
Thanks for listening to eHealth Talk. Be sure to subscribe and share with your colleagues and friends. eHealth Talk, eHealth News and the eHealth TV webinar series are supported by Health Informatics New Zealand. See hins.org.nz for more information and become a member, starting at just $17 a month. We also have affordable organisational membership options now for both our industry partners and healthcare providers.